Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. Pardon the minor shift in scheduling this week. There was an all-star game or all-star weekend, and LeBron James decided to take it all off, and so did I. So that's what we're going to do here for this one. I'll dive into the mailbag in tomorrow's show, but I wanted to jump actually into a potential rumor and a potential availability that the Lakers are certainly keeping their eye on. Andre Drummond, per Mark Stein, is the Cavs are still working to find a trade and would, you know, prefer to find a trade. But the Lakers, if Drummond hits the buyout market, the Lakers are think that they would be able to acquire him. So with all of that in mind, I'm bringing on Chris Manning from Locked On Cavs and Fear the Sword. And frankly, one of the major voices in the Cavs since I've been doing this, dating back to way too long ago. Chris, how you doing?
I'm good, man. It's always fun to catch up as a pair of Locked On, you know, OGs. Just kind of, we're here. You know, we've built.
we have definitely built bar, seen you might this say. Thing. We've been building this thing and been a part of this thing for literal years. Like it's David sends out those anniversary things and it's like so-and-so 5 years. It's like, good Lord.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
like by far the longest I've ever, you know, held a singular job. So congratulations, David, for getting some loyalty out of this guy. All right. So I want to start where basically there are three topics that we really need to nail today. Whether you think Andre Drummond will be available at all in the buyout market, everything else becomes moot if not, his ideal role on a winning team, and then whether you think he'll accept that role just like Dwight did in last year's Lakers run. So let's start though with whether you think the Cavs might be able to find a trade for this guy in time. The March 25th deadline is approaching. Do you think the Cavs, well, for first and foremost, do you think pulling him off of the out of the rotation completely has hurt their abilities of trading this guy?
Probably to some extent, but I think everyone and their uncle and their cousins all sort of knew that he was being shopped, right? I mean, think the moment you got Jared Allen in particular, I think he was like, okay, they've got Jared Allen. Kobe Altman came out and said, like, we wanted to get him in-house, easier to re-sign him and lock him in long-term to what we're building here if we go out and trade for him. And look, Andre Drummond, I think, you know, to his credit, started off the year really, really strong. I think everything went well. But I think if you just look from when Allen came in and when Allen wasn't there, there's basically two different seasons for him. The numbers mostly bearing it out kind of stayed very close together, but the effort level wasn't there defensively, much less engaged in. And we'll talk about this, but like he was empowered arguably more than he ever has been in his entire career this year with the Cavs. I mean, career highs in field goal attempts, career highs in usage rate, all kinds of stuff. And yet his numbers and efficiency were lower than they've ever been. So it's kind of a diminishing return. I think they kind of had to do it. I don't know if that situation with him playing the way he was tenable much longer. I think the optics of it obviously don't look good. I think, you know, when Draymond and LeBron say what they say, which I don't think is totally wrong, I think that doesn't look good for you, but I don't know what else you're supposed to do in that situation. And look, Andre Drummond's making a lot of money. He's still getting paid. Like he's fine. He's going to be okay.
Yeah. I found myself rolling my eyes at some of what was said about Andre Drummond's situation. Like if he would have kept playing hard on both sides of the ball, he'd still be in the rotation,
but like he'd probably still be starting.
Yeah, and he stopped, you know, to a certain extent, it's like, that's how sports work, right? Like anybody who has ever played any sports, if you stop trying on one end of the ball or one side of the court, you're not going to keep playing. So like that was the part that I thought went unmentioned in their rants about him. So with that said though, and the fallout of pulling him out of the rotation has been that they haven't been able to find, or part of the fallout has been they haven't been able to find this trade for this guy. And with that deadline for buyouts coming up on March 25th, do you think they'll find a trade partner in time?
I don't know, because which is exactly the answer you want to hear, right?
I don't know. That's perfect. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of.
Yes, we're done here. But I think it's tricky because I've gone through every team in the league at some point or the other and looked at the rosters, looked at the salary matching, because Drummond's making like 28, I think, maybe a little less than that. I'll check. But it's hard to find like a place that should both want to trade for him and what they'd be willing to give up, because I don't think the Cavs, via talking to people around the Cavs and just like poking around a little bit, I don't think they're going to get much more, if any more, than what they got last year or what they gave up last year to get him, which was two expiring contracts in Brandon Knight and John Henson. Both guys are now out of the league and a second round pick. That's all they give up. They took a flyer. It didn't work, is what it is. I don't know if you're getting much more than that back. And it's tricky to also like find the money. Like Toronto has been mentioned as a team that would be interested. They have to combine like four salaries to get to that number.
Yep.
A bunch of other teams would have to do similar things to kind of get there. The Bulls have now been linked as a team as well, interested in him, and like the Otto Porter expiring would sort of be a way to kind of make that work. And you just see what else kind of goes in both directions there, but it's tricky. I don't think it's a lock that he's moved. And I think if you're a team that's going to trade for him, you should be very careful about it. And we'll talk about that. But I think if you're like the Knicks, I don't know if I do it. I could talk myself into it if I'm Charlotte for reasons that are related to the Melo ball, maybe maximizing him in a way that he hasn't been. The Bulls, I could get it. If you're just out on Wendell and you want to try out Drummond, I could get it. But it's tricky to find.
Man, that is a sad sentence to hear.
Yes. Yes.
Come on, Boylan.
Yeah. But thanks, Jim. But it's just like, it is a very tricky market in that I don't think there are a lot of teams that are interested. And it's also like hard to find deals that actually work. Like there's just not an obvious, like the Otto Porter thing is the one thing where it's like, oh, there's these two expiring contracts for players who aren't playing for their teams anymore. Like maybe you just do this, but like that's inherent on the Bulls, like wanting to do it. And the Cavs, like maybe thinking that's like enough worth their time, really.
Yeah, I feel like at this stage, if you can just move the contract and not have any money beyond this year, like that to me would be a win for the Cavs. It's just hard to, like you're saying, when it's $28 million, that's at least two average contracts in the NBA right now. And, you know, if you have two contracts, usually three, closer to three contracts, two and a half contracts here, and you're expecting all of them to be useful players on expirings, you know, and you don't want to send out picks to be able to move this guy. It's just a very hyper specific situation that you're hoping to run into here with moving him. And you know, I'm biased here because this would potentially help the Lakers, but I don't see the trade materializing in a way that they're hoping for. We'll see. You know, we'll see. You mentioned Otto Porter. There's a report out now that the Bulls could potentially buy him out, though.
Yeah.
Nothing about the Bulls have ever said, you know, they buy very many people out or just like,
yeah, I mean,
money, but we'll see.
Yeah. He's just like on the expiring. And I think the other thing I'll just add too is I think the Cavs would take back bad money in the future. I don't think they're against that. Like, I don't think they would say that's a deal breaker for them. I don't think they should. I think if the way that they're at, I don't think you should do that. But the question is, how much are you willing, like you want to get compensated basically for taking on bad money. So how much are teams going to be willing to throw in? I mean, I would be shocked if you could get a first out of it. There's just, there's no reason that I should be running a team, because I would get fired very fast. Because I would just like hire all my blog friends. I would like pull Jeff Siegel out of the agency he works for. I would hire you to be my comms director. Like I get fired so fast. You know, but like, are you getting a first? Probably not. Like, I just can't imagine a world where like you're getting, unless the team like panics, right? Yeah. And it like has an injury at center between now and then. And maybe that's the reason why the Cavs are waiting. I don't know. Like I could see that. I think you're just hoping to get maximum value. And I don't know if it's more than a second. And like, again, I think that's fair. I don't know if I would give up a lot for Andre Drummond. I really don't.
Well, that's kind of what I want to get to next, in that, you know, you and I both know Ryan Morton. And his rants about Andre Drummond are such that I don't know that any team, like if that's the player that he's going to be forever, I don't know that I wouldn't want to give up too much for Andre Drummond. But I do think there is a role for him and a potential path that he could take to extending his career. So we're going to take a quick second. When we come back, we'll talk about that. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, NBA, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. Today's show is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Head on over to rockauto.com where you will visit a family business that has been doing this for over two decades now. And you are going to find the best collection of parts that you can possibly find on the internet. It is getting insane. The more high tech these cars get, the more difficult it is to find the proper part. And that makes it all the easier for the big companies to mark up all of the parts that you might need should anything go wrong with your car. Well, rockauto.com is here to help you avoid all of those kinds of messes as best you can. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil. Your car needs carpet? They have that too. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specs, and prices you prefer. And most importantly, the prices you see are going to be the same for everybody, regardless of your driving background. So again, head on over to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck, and then write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Today's show is brought to you in part by betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% deposit bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but you have the NBA, you have March Madness upon us, you have the NHL. If you're really hankering for some stuff and you really want to ride a roller coaster, Major League Baseball is a fun one right now. Definitely would not advise putting too much on that though. But you're going to find all of that at betonline.com. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% deposit bonus and you'll get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets and it's free to sign up. So head one more time over to betonline.com, use that promo code LOCKEDON for that 50% deposit bonus, and we'll get back to your bet of the day segments here, hopefully as soon as tomorrow. We'll see. BetOnline.com, promo code LOCKEDON. So Andre Drummond to this point reminds me a lot of mid-career Dwight Howard, where there are things that he does on a basketball court that are valuable. Being a gigantic human being is one of those valuable things. Like we're learning that just being hyper small, if some team has the right personnel to counter with size, it's kind of hard to counter that counter. So Drummond being as big as he is, he already had, what was it, a 30-20 game against these Lakers. Mm-hmm. Solid audition on his part. And so like the talent is there. It's just a matter of him kind of buying into the role. But for you, having watched him now for going on a year or so, could you identify a role that he could play that would lend itself to winning basketball at the highest level?
I think there's a path. I think for most guys in the league, and I think sometimes we forget this, I think there are just a lot of guys. There are very few guys that are like the system, like LeBron system, like, you know, Zion system. Like there's a few guys like that. Everyone else, I think, needs some catering.
Alex Caruso system.
Yeah. Yeah. Deli, but better Alex Caruso. Making that bank on those tone. I always get his tonal ad on Instagram, by the way. Alex Caruso, good job. Good job capitalizing on your moment in the sun. Make that money, my guy. But
also put on a lot of sunscreen because your moment in the sun looks painful.
Yeah, it would be terrible. Very, very light skin there. Every guy I think needs to know the role. And Drummond has also, like, I think to a point where, like, okay, if you want to say teams have failed him, every team he's been on, the Pistons for 8 years, the Cavs for the last, like, year or so, which feels like about nine because of global things, like, they've made him the centerpiece. They've made, like, okay, we're going to build around you. We're going to make you, like, the centerpiece of what we do. And again, like, with the Cavs this year, career highs in field goal attempts, career high usage rate, career highs in a bunch of different things, and it didn't yield the return. And some of that is not on him. Some of it's like, this team isn't very good offensively, didn't have Kevin Love very much, etc. But, like, he's never been good as the one option or the two option. Like, Blake, when like him and Blake Griffin were at whatever their apex was, Blake Griffin was the better player. Before, like, his fall off has happened, Blake was better. Blake made all NBA. And Andre, but I think the best way to explain what I think his role looked like is, like, look, if he could go to, I thought Toronto made a lot of sense, because if you put him there, there's a hierarchy. And if it's Kyle and Siakam and Fred and Nick Nurse is the coach, there's a structure in place. You put Drummond in there. You say, okay, you need to do this. We're going to hold you accountable. I think he sort of needs that to kind of be the best version of himself. The Lakers would obviously be a higher level of that, because, you know, like, his role would probably be even smaller than it would be in Toronto or elsewhere. The Nets have been floated as another team that he could be interested in as a buyout guy. Like, his role would either be to run the floor, rebound, contest shots, and dunk. That would be his whole entire role. He's not going to get the post-ups he gets. He's not going to get, like, the little elbow touches, probably. Like, he's not going to get the stuff that he has sort of been fed a lot in his career. And I think for him to be, like, a player that competes on a team that can make a real run at a title, that's probably right. Like, he could do more stuff, and maybe you could squeeze some stuff out of him to kind of give guys rests and do some stuff. But, like, he's not a guy that I would be trying to run my offense through when, you know, your season's on the line and you're trying to figure stuff out.
Yeah, I think over the course of the regular season, you probably give him his touches occasionally, a lot fewer occasions than he's gotten over the course of his career, but enough to keep him interested and keep him engaged, right? Sometimes you kind of have to, you know, yeah, you got to give, even though candy isn't good for small children, you got to give them a piece every so often so that they continue to listen to you. And you know, I think for Drummond, those post touches aren't exactly great for his on-court value and his impact, his positive impact on the game, but you got to sometimes help him out, meet him halfway so that he is more comfortable doing the things that actually does help teams, as monotonous as those can become. It's kind of funny, though. Could you imagine being so athletic and so talented that a team asking you, hey, can you just run down the key and dunk on everybody? Like, that would become monotonous. That would become such a norm that you're just like, nah, I don't really want to do that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, like, a thing where it's like, okay, if you're Andre Drummond and you're 27, you've made an All-Star team, you think you're very, very good. Like, and I mean, there are two, like, he's made an All-Star, he made a lot of NBA team, all this stuff. Like, there's just like, okay, I want to do more. Like, you want to show that you can do more and you like what comes with being, like, the guy on a team. I could sort of understand that, like, that's like a belief system that comes in your head, right? That it's like, okay, like, I just believe I want to be this guy. And I don't get it. I would be, like, pretty chill making a bunch of money, but I also, like, there's ego and things involved in this that get tricky. It also, like, would be interesting to see, like, I think if he gets bought out, we would sort of understand, like, probably better than we ever have, like, what Andre Drummond sort of wants, because he got drafted to Detroit, spent a bunch of time there, took the money as he absolutely should have. Gets traded to Cleveland. That doesn't work out. He's, you know, he's going to be elsewhere sooner rather than later at this point. Like, what does he want? And because if he gets bought out, he's basically giving up his bird rights for whatever team he goes to. He's going to limit his market in theory for next summer. That financially will cost him something, even though he's, you know, he has to know that he wasn't going to get the kind of money he's making now in his next deal. But, like, is he willing to potentially limit his market at a much, much lower level? And I think a key difference between him and Dwight is that he's 27 right now. Dwight was 34 on the Lakers.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Dwight went through the Atlanta period, the Charlotte period, the end of the Houston period. Like, he went through stuff in the wall. Oh, I forgot he played for the Wizards, apparently. That was the thing. 9 games, I guess. Sure, that happened. I definitely remember that.
But he definitely bought a wand while he was in Washington, right?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
A wand, the star like hat that they wear in the Mickey Mouse thing.
Yeah. He was running around like casting. Yeah, he did the whole thing. 100%.
fart spells to everybody,
like just chugging butterbeer, you know, just but like he went through all of that and then gets the Lakers, right? Like there was like multiple steps where like him and Harden earned together in Houston. He makes an all-star team in 2013-14 when he's 28. Six years go by. Mm-hmm. Is Drummond going to be willing to go from like being what he's been the last couple of years immediately to maybe like a souped up version of a Dwight Howard role? That's just like an open question. And I don't think we know the answer to it. Is he going to do that and give up potential earnings as a result? Like that's a fair question. I also don't know what the market is like for him next summer. Like who's also blowing the bank on Andre Drummond at this point? I don't know.
Well, I think that's part of like one of those things feeds into the other. So let's take a quick second. When we come back, we'll talk about that. When you need fantasy basketball advice, it's important that you have a reliable source. More people trust Josh Lloyd, host of Locked On Fantasy Basketball, than any other fantasy basketball podcast. Subscribe to the number one fantasy basketball podcast, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, wherever you get podcasts. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all their bars. Now's the time to find out which bar is the best. It's Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup features four outstanding tasting bars. You have the Apple Almond Crisp, Churro Puff, Peanut Butter Brownie, and Raspberry. So you have Apple Almond Crisp going up against Churro Puff. You guys know which way I'm going to go there. Go all the way with Churro Puff, in my opinion. And then you have Peanut Butter Brownie going up against Raspberry. I'm going with Peanut Butter Brownie in that one. So if you want to vote on this and participate in this bracket, you can go to builtbar.com. You can also follow at built_bar on Twitter to keep track of all of the matchups and how everything is going there. But most importantly, you're going to want to go to builtbar.com and then use that promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That's LOCKEDON20. It's a new promo code to get 20% off your next order at builtbar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar out there. You have to compete, you know, when you become as good as protein bars are, or Built Bar's protein bars are, you wind up competing against yourself. So I can't wait to see who winds up winning this whole thing. And the best place to figure that out and find that out is going to be at builtbar.com. I think a big part of Drummond potentially, you know, kind of making his way into this role, whether he likes it or not, by the way, like to a certain extent, the league dictates some of this. Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the reasons why Drummond at 27 is being asked to follow the same career path that Dwight Howard did at 34 is that that's how quickly the evolution of the sport has occurred. You know, it used to be Dwight Howard, it was just assumed that you throw the ball into the post to Dwight Howard. And that was the reality for half of his career, basically. But as we learned, unless that player is absolutely elite in those possessions, there's just so much better things that they could be doing offensively to help a team win. And we learned that with Dwight, kind of. And as a result of learning that with Dwight, that is now applied to all bigs who were like Dwight. And you know, it'd be interesting if Al Jefferson was around, if his career took place during more modern times, I'd be kind of curious how he would be used and whether his career goes as long and is as fruitful as it was while he played. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. Like you're saying, I completely agree. So with all of these athletes, less so, you know, giant athletic 7-footers, because to a certain extent, you're going to be successful in a sport like basketball. But all these guys have been overcoming long odds their whole careers and overcoming doubt their whole lives, right? This idea that, yeah, I'm going to be part of the 0.00001% of athletes in my sport. Like, that's just simple math would say, no, that's probably not going to work out. That's probably not going to be how this thing goes. And they have proven that wrong. So when Drummond reaches a point where he says, or where the sport and all the teams playing in this league and all the analysts are telling you, you got to do this and only this to be helpful to a really good team, he's going to say, well, I've proven everybody else wrong all along the way. You're just the next group of people that I have to prove wrong. And you know, for all of these athletes, that's just kind of the reality of what they kind of go through here. That I think the difference though is that it's such a pervasive reality that it's up against more than even the long odds of getting to the NBA in the first place. It's not just that you got to the NBA, it's that the NBA evolved, and asking the evolution to turn back around and go in the opposite direction, that's just not usually how it goes unless you're absolutely special at what you want to be able to do. And I think you and I agree, Chris, that Drummond isn't that kind of special post up big or pinch post big who turns around the evolution.
Yeah, and I think he's not even like a lob threat in the way that you would sort of want him to be. Like, he's very low to the ground. He like gobbles up a lot of rebounds, and he's sort of underrated in that sense. But like, it's because sometimes he's missing off. He's getting his own misses, and he's not like,
yeah,
you know, going up and catching lobs. It's one of the reasons why like a Lakers or like, you know, I want to see him on a team with like a really good passer as a point guard, because it was spacing, because like, he didn't have that in Detroit. He had Reggie Jackson is like the most notable point guard he played with. Right. And like Reggie Jackson was fine. You know, I think Darius Garland's coming a long way as a passer in Cleveland, but like the spacing isn't there. Like, I don't know if he was going to accentuate, like, he's like a special A+ level passer. I don't know if he's that. LeBron would be that, right? Like, LeBron, if anyone is going to make Andre Drummond like the best version of himself as a role guy and as a lob threat, it's probably going to be LeBron James. And, like, you know, Dennis Schroeder, really good pick and roll player. Like, you're going to have things there that are going to would help him. And I think, like, you know, like, if he's playing on Brooklyn, like, he's just going to have space. Like, he's just going to have room to be big inside and go dunk. Plays for, if Charlotte were to trade for him, like, that would be sort of the same thing. Like him working off LaVine would be really interesting. All these places can maybe offer him something that he hasn't necessarily had before. And I talked to people around the league, like, they think he should just take the buyout and go play for a winner and like try to change the structure of what they think of him. Like you've already made money. You can probably still get a decent number, like on a mid-level or something next year. You're still going to make like a double-digit $1 million probably, or close to it. Like, why not just go win and show that like you can compete in a more structured environment? It kind of changed the narrative on what people think of you. That's like, I think a fair way to think about it.
Given what you've seen from him, what's the likelihood that he actually does that he accepts that role, albeit even if it's just for the 4 or 5 months that he would have to in order to win a championship?
He was really good the start of the season when I think like there were still talks of him and the Cavs negotiating a contract. Really active hands. He's got like underratedly active hands defensively, I think. Was rebounding well, was shooting pretty well, even though like his efficiency wasn't there. Like, he was playing pretty well. Like, him and Larry Nance as a duo were really, really good defensively in terms of deflecting passes, getting steals, and defending the paint a little bit. I think if you put him in a situation where like he like is clearly not the guy, and like I think obviously LA with LeBron, with AD, you know, with the guys that were there on the title team last year, you know, with the structure that's in place, I don't think he would have the ability to kind of break out of that structure. And I think that would be good for him. And I think that's how you get the best out of him. Like, if you go somewhere like Charlotte, is that the case? Is he go somewhere to Chicago? Is that the case? But I think it's frankly a bit of an unknown. And, you know, the teams all do more homework and deep diving than, you know, we ever do. And I think if you're doing that and you would say, okay, we're going to bet on the talent and bet on this, I think you have to believe when you grab him that it's not going to be an issue, because it's like, is he going to be like JaVale or Dwight? You know, even if DeMarcus is clearly not as good at this point, like, DeMarcus is probably buying into that role. You sort of know that. is Drummond going to do that exact same thing? I think you need to know that going in, but it's also going to be like such a little bit amount of money that it's like, okay, you roll the dice. And if it doesn't work, like you just play Trez and Mark and AD plays the five. Like it's not really a big deal otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, no matter what, the Lakers' best lineups and the biggest moments on of any of these games, AD is going to be playing the five. So whether the Lakers go after Drummond or if they continue to head down this Damian Jones path, it doesn't really matter. AD is probably going to be playing the five in those big moments. So it's interesting. I don't know. I don't know that I see this happening. I could see him being bought out for sure, but I don't necessarily see the Lakers thing happening because there are other situations where he can play the kind of role that gets him paid more. You know, does he care all that? You know, does forfeiting some of that role and some of those opportunities for a championship make sense for him? Maybe, I don't know, but he's young enough to where I think he could still ring chase 4 or 5 years from now and be able to do so all right. Just out of curiosity, this is going to sound like a ridiculous question, but if you had both those guys at the same number and with Damian Jones, you knew he was going to accept a role, and Andre Drummond, there was some iffiness about whether he would accept his optimized role, which path would you head down?
I think you go Drummond because I think the talent. I think you just bet on the talent.
Yeah,
I think if Andre Drummond comes in and is motivated, like I would still in a big moment probably trust Mark more than I would him. But like I think there's an argument to me that in the right situation, if like Mark isn't like cutting it offensively or whatever, mm-hmm. like would you trust Drummond as your five more than Trez defensively? Probably. Trez has maybe got that like energy factor and kind of the pick and roll kind of thing he's good at in a way Drummond might not, but I think the talent upside is worth it. And I think if your team like the Lakers in particular with LeBron, with AD that won a title that has like organizationally, like, and I like knows what it is, right? You can sustain this stuff better than other situations cannot. Like the Cavs, like if you want it, like when LeBron was in Cleveland the second time, they bring in Deron Williams. It doesn't work, but like mm-hmm. it didn't like mess anything up. They just sort of roll with it. Like yeah. they made the trade in 2018 to bring in Clarkson and Larry. And like, it sort of like was weird, but like they were able to maximize what that was and sort of get through it. Like really good teams with star players like that can kind of sustain those things. Like I wouldn't, and I also don't think like Drummond's going to come in and like blow things up. Like he's not. And if he does, if he's cranky and he's not worth it, then it's like, okay, like bye, like whatever. Like we don't, you know what I mean? Like there's yep. you, like he has as much to come and improve in that situation if he does get bought out. Because I think if I was him and I got bought out, I think you have to kind of reconsider where you are a little bit. Like you just yeah. you would have no other choice in my mind.
I agree. I agree completely with all that. All right. Well, thank you very much, Chris, for hopping on. Anything that you want to plug for Locked On Cavs before we get out of here? I'm so happy that you guys landed Jared Allen. Oh my goodness. He's so good.
He's so good, man. he's really good. Yeah. He's really, really good.
Just and go he accepts his role. Like there's so much yeah, value in a big that does the things that he does that just accepts the fact that that's what makes him valuable.
Yeah. Just come and check out Locked On Cavs. And you know, we're going to be doing a whole Larry Nance episode on Tuesday because his name has been mentioned as a guy that teams really want in the trade market. And for Laker fans that don't know about what maybe has been up with Larry since he left, he's become really good. I distinctly remember talking to you that when they did the trade and you're like, everyone around the Lakers says like he can shoot, like it's going to happen. And it never does. He's finally taking threes and he's pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. I'm happy Larry Nance rules.
And he's like, I hope they don't trade him just because I think Larry means more to Cleveland and likes than he would basically anywhere else.
There are members of Kev's Twitter that will probably chain themselves to Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse and barricade people from getting in in order to get a meeting with Kobe Altman, because if Larry Nance were to be traded and they try to be like, well, we got a first round pick for him, and they'll be like, I legitimately do not care. Like, just let us have Larry. Let us have one nice thing. Let us just have this guy who like loves the city, yeah. has like tweeted about like wanting to retire here. And yeah. like, it's just like, okay, that's fine. Like, great. Like, just let him be here. It's fine. We can have nice things.
So if I can't get a hold of you for a while, there's a decent chance that you're chained to Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse.
I'll probably, trying to get my co-host Evan, unlocked. I'll be like, Evan, man, like, okay. I know you're bummed, but like, chill, bro. We gotta go pot about this. Like,
you would literally be locked on.
Locked on. Yeah. Just locked. Hey,
locked to Cavs.
If there's any, like lock makers out there that want to sponsor the network, just email us. We're Locked On Cavs might be the pod for you. If you ever wanted to break into the podcasting ad space, we might be for you.
I can't believe it hasn't happened already. Well, either way, Master, get at us.
That's a real bummer. That's just a great branding opportunity. Like, it is. There's a betting angle to it. There's like game. Like, right. There's so many things we could do with a lock partner. Master. There's like a bike lock company. We're all in. I'm ready.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. In tomorrow's show, I'll open up the mailbag and get to all of your questions that you had over the course of the weekend. Until then, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, Chris.